Hajj, how to be performed, and what are the masail, how to wear ihram and when to proceed, what type of niyyah is necessary, where to stay and where to proceed, where to reach in a particular time. Those are technical aspects of Hajj. The substance of Hajj is something else. Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, Quran says. Hajj are in the given specified months. That means, of course, you cannot go for Hajj or for Umrah Tamattu' before the month of Shawwal has entered. Shawwal, Dhi Qa'dah, and Dhi Al-Hajj. Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. These are the months of Hajj. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Whoever accepts the obligation of Hajj in these months, that means whoever makes the intention of going, then there is no vulgarism, no wickedness, no argumentativeness in Hajj. That means once you have decided to go for Hajj and you have gone there, there is nothing like being vulgar, being shameless, talking or acting in a manner which is against the codes of ethics. And there is no fusuq, no transgression, no wickedness, and no jidal, no fighting and no quarreling in Hajj. And another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they go for Hajj, فَلْيَقْضُوا نُذُورَهُمْ فَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ وَلْيَقْضُوا تَفَثَهُمْ. Tell them to complete their vows, their nadhr, whatever they have made, and to cast aside all the dirt that they have accumulated. Tafath is something which is the dirtiest part, sometimes even Pakhana is known as tafath. Tafath is the dirty and najis thing in me. Tell them to cast them aside. And ulama have made a tafsir here that it means taqseer, cutting off certain nail and certain part of hair, and also to cast aside all the bad habits that I have been victim of. This is the meaning of Hajj. So now we will begin with the substance of Hajj for the benefit of those who are inshallah going for the first time, or those who have been, and for the benefit of men like us who are not going this year, inshallah they will go whenever the occasion arises. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullah alayhi, in Nahj al-Balagha says, Allah destined the destination of Hajj at a place where there are no tourist attractions. And you will all accept this argument of Imam. Had there been no Kaaba there, there would have been no attraction for any one of you to go to a place where even water was not available sometimes, where heat is unbearable, where there's nothing but desert, where sometimes the people are so uncooperative that we wonder whether we are still living in the era of the Prophet or we are in 20th century. Whether they are living in Ayyamul Jahiliyyah or they are in the 20th century of civility. All that conceded, we go. There isn't any attraction there. He kept it deliberately there, at a place where there are nothing but stones and valleys. Nahj al-Balagha says, for one particular reason, that man may decide with an intention to go to those places and put up with all the sufferings in the name of Allah and His obedience. So when we go for Hajj, the niyyah, the intention must be qurbatan ilallah, for Hajj and nothing else, not for the sake of setting up agency in Jeddah. We are very clever people, aren't we? We always believe that let us kill two birds with one stone, and if possible three, and even four. You go there, we know that Arabia is now rich. Black gold is flowing. And we can go there and have some agencies. Inshallah, in Jeddah, we'll meet some hefty Arabs. And then, inshallah, when we come back, as they say in Persian, ham khurma ham sawab, we get all, we gain best of the both worlds. Come back as Haji and also as one who has set up an agency. Any mixing of niyyah makes your Hajj batil immediately. It has got to be khalisan li wajhillah, qurbatan ilallah ta'ala, that I am going to Hajj for the sake of becoming nearer to Allah, because He has made it an ordinance that if I can afford to go, I shall go at least once in my life. And when we go, we are asked to wear ihram, two pieces of clothes, one in the loin and one on your shoulder. For all men of all status, there is one simple apparel which they will put on. They will don ihram and nothing else. You cannot enter haram, you can't enter Makkah Mu'azzama without ihram. Before you make ihram, people ask several very funny questions which displays their ignorance. Somebody told us that it is very difficult to wear ihram from Juhfa. So then there are thousands of questions asking, can we avoid Juhfa? Can we avoid Juhfa? We cannot avoid places of miqat where from you will begin your ihram. And for all the difficulties, we must be ready, whether it is from Juhfa, whether it is from Shajara or wherever, it must be worn from miqat. Miqat are those parallel points to Kaaba from where you begin your ihram, regardless of difficulties that we may face. And when you have put your ihram, it doesn't mean anything till you make a niyyah. And at that particular niyyah is the test, where you say that I have now donned this ihram for Umrah Tamattu' now in the beginning. Hajj is still to come. Umrah is first. Qurbatan ilallah. And immediately say, Labbaik. Allahumma Labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik. Labbaik is an Arabic version of saying, yes sir, here I am. Those who have had experience in East Africa, especially in Zanzibar, and in those places where there were Arab workers at home, if the master called him by his name, Fulan, the answer that Arab boy will give is Labbaik. Although in our fiqh Ja'fari, it is makruh to answer by Labbaik, because it is only answerable to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Labbaik means here I am. I am at your end, at your side. I am at your command. This is the meaning of Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. That means, Ya Allah, I have come. This is the beginning. Here I am. Allahumma Labbaik. Oh Allah, Labbaik. Labbaik. La sharika laka Labbaik. No partner to you. You are the sole master. I have come. Imam Ja'far Sadiq Salamullah Alayhi. Wearing ihram and saying Labbaik is seen by people trembling with fear. And the face changes color and people say, Ibn Rasulullah, what is happening to you? Are you not well? And he says, no, I'm well. But I'm just thinking, I have answered the call, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And I do not know, maybe the answer from there is La Labbaik wa La Sa'daik. How can there be an answer from the master if the ihram is the one upon whom khums has not been paid? How can there be? Ihram I am wearing and from there zakat has not been paid. Ihram I am wearing and there is so much of debt on my head that I never cared to pay. Ihram I am wearing, is it pak or najis? And so many things. So many things. So to be able to qualify for an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, When I say labbaik, he says sa'daik, that you may be showered and blessed with virtue and excellence. You're welcome, come in. Ihram is there. 25 things according to Ayatullah al-Khuwi become haram immediately. 23 or 25 is not material. The contents are same. Some mujtahideen have classified one thing into two, A and B. That's why they say 25, but it's the same. But have we ever judged, have we ever thought, what are the things which have become haram? To look at the mirror is haram. To apply perfume, haram. To go under the shade while not traveling, haram. While traveling, sorry, haram. While not traveling, of course, allowed. To run away from stench, from bad smell, to run away by closing your nose or even by running away, haram. To pluck your hair, haram. Even your beard, if you knew that hair will fall, don't touch it. To kill any insect, haram. Contact with man as a husband or woman as a wife, haram. To read nikah of your own or for somebody else. To witness a nikah, haram. While you are in a haram. To cover your feet, haram. To cover your head, haram. Have you ever thought of this? Ya Allah, what's happening? Why do you put me to so much of inconvenience? The fact is that the moment I enter into ihram is just like entering into my coffin. Remember what I say, each word of it is important. That means I am dead. A dead man does not smell perfume, nor does he run away from stench. A dead man does not look into the mirror. A dead man does not go to the wife, or a woman dead does not go to her husband. You are dead. And you are going into a cocoon from which you will metamorphose into a new man. There's going to be a new metamorphosis. And you will come out as a new man from that cocoon from which you have been, and you break the shell when the Hajj is over. So you treat yourself as a dead person. I am resigned to him. Whatever he shall say, I shall do. The meaning of Hajj is qasd, purpose, intention to obey. Fine. They will come to Umrah Tamattu. They will perform the a'mal of Umrah Tamattu, which I don't touch because I want to speak of Hajj. Time is less. And Hajj a'mal and Umrah a'mal are same, so let us go to straight away Hajj. But before I go to Hajj, sometimes you have 5 days, 6 days, 7 days in Makkah before Hajj commences. Please try to understand that you have arrived at Makkah, Makkah al-Mu'azzama, the first house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where people quarrel for one tin of milk. One. And one extra ice cream cone that you might have eaten from his funds. People quarrel for space. People quarrel for car transportation. People quarrel for things which are so immaterial and insignificant, which displays only one thing. They don't know where they have come and what they have come for. One has got to put up with all the problems, even if it comes from the dear ones. Not from the people of Arabia, but even the dear ones. One has got to keep his mouth shut. This is the place where people get namaz subuh qada. Makkah. Daytime they do shopping. Because American goods are available in Jeddah. In Makkah. Shops are full. Gold is cheap. And so are the watches. So people buy. And then they get spent up. At night they are in haram. Early morning they are in bed. Where is namaz subh? Allah maaf kare. Yahan to zyada maaf karega. that God who can forgive me in London can forgive me better in Makkah. This is the philosophy. We have seen and we know. Namaz is qada, sleeps, oversleeps and rises when the sun is already up. What is the meaning of Hajj? As you prepare for Hajj, you will first go to Arafah and remember, Imam says, Imam Ali alayhi salam, that you are entering Haram, you are entering that place of Haram in Ihram, and you come to Arafah. Arafah means in Arabic, Arafah comes from Urf, to know, to recognize. Arafah is a place where one recognizes oneself. It's a place of ma'arifah. That is why Imam alayhi salam said, whoever is not forgiven in his own town in the month of Ramadan, which has passed, he cannot be forgiven in the whole of year if he did not qualify for being forgiven in the month of Ramadan. He will have to go to Arafah and he might be forgiven on the plains of Arafah. Arafah is the test where people know that there are nothing but tents, not marquee like this, tents. And the heat, in this year it was going to be as hot as it was last year. And there you are told to wait, just to wait from Dhuhr to Maghrib. But that is the place where Imam Hussein alayhi salam took his people and went to Jabal Rahma, there is a mountain there. And facing Kaaba, he read that dua, which dua, if we sit and read today here, takes about 45 minutes to complete, which is in Mafatih al-Jinan. Dua Arafah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Allahumma ja'alni akhshaka ka'anni araak. O God, make me fear you as if I see you. There isn't any dua to compare in its profundity and depth like the dua of Imam Hussain alayhi salam on the day of Arafah. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive my parents and forgive the people with whom I am living. Forgive the people of my country and my township. Arafah. It is the place for ibadah. It is the place for serving human brothers. If there is anyone ill, serve him. If anyone is taken sick, serve him. Do not become nafsa nafsi, looking after oneself only. Look for the others. That is the ibadah on the day of Arafah. And from Arafah you will come to Muzdalifah. You are coming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually the traveling is, although you have traveled from Makkah to Arafah, but actually the traveling is from Arafah to Makkah. Have you observed? From Muzdalifah, from Makkah to Arafah is 17 miles. But from there, Arafah to Makkah is only 4 miles. You are going back. Actually, the traveling begins when you have reached Arafah, now going back to Kaaba. In Arafah, you stay till Maghrib. From there you go to Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah means coming closer. Mash'ar, becoming conscious. Here is the night where people think it is a night of only finding out the pebbles for hitting the shaitan. It is not only for finding out the pebbles. It is the night of ibadah also. And from there, early morning you are going to Muna. You take the names by literal sense. Arafah, to know. Mash'ar, recognize and be conscious. Muna is to reach the hope, final. Muna means once murad and hope. When you reach there, Qurbani and all those other things, people ask Mullah Sahib, so many goats are slaughtered there, everything goes in west. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to slaughter. It goes to west. It goes to dust is not your concern. What was happening and what is happening today is the responsibility of the people upon whom the responsibility has been laid. You have been asked to do whatever is obligatory. Do you know one thing? that in this world, ecological development demands that whatever you do, you must replace it. If there was a time when only 60 or 70 or 80,000 Hajis could travel, it meant that there was no communication available the way it is today. In those days, when 70, 80, 90,000 Hujjaj came, the goats slaughtered there were taken away by the poor immediately. There was no waste. When the world can today afford to transport 900,000 Hajis at a time, that world today is capable of transporting that meat to the next door Muslim famine-stricken neighbor. Is it not? Saudi Arabia, is not possible today for it to transport whatever it wants to Sudan, to Somalia? Is there no money? There is enough of it, and it was proposed even to them. But the Western world has told Saudi Arabia that you have to keep the pockets of starvation so that our political ends could be met. For the sake of political ends, certain pockets of starvation are necessary so that we could go and oblige them and have our political standpoint there enforced. Otherwise, that Saudi can do it. It was proposed by the Muslim conference, Islamic conference, that you can prepare canned and tinned meat and send them to Sudan and Somalia and throughout the world, halal food. You can put the industry. But the Muslim world today, with the exception of one or two countries, is at the mercy of other countries for even making the decisions. Leave aside starting anything else. If it tells you not to start with the industry, you will not start. If it tells you not to export your tin, you can't export more than that. If it tells you so much of coffee must be burnt, you have to burn. If it tells you so much of chocolates must be spilt, you have to spill. If it tells you so much of diamonds must be excavated and the rest must not be excavated, you have to follow. All these things are governed by the countries, which are known as superpowers. Saudi Arabia could have done it. They don't want to do it. Now we are being asked, ulama are being asked, why is it wasted? It is wasted because of the human error, otherwise there would have been no wastage. Because development should have been taken together. The development of communication and traveling should have gone together. What has happened is lopsided. And that is why these are the things. When you slaughter an animal, even those people who shudder when they see blood, even they must stand there, make a niyyah. And if they can't see the animal being cut open, at least they can keep the hand on the hand of the slaughterer, make a niyyah that this is on behalf of this. And Imam said, say in your mind that, Ya Allah, just as this being sacrificed animal to you, I will sacrifice my nafs and my low desires in your name. This is the meaning of sacrifice. Allahu Akbar. I have to hurry up. Very few minutes left. But Imam alayhi salam says that, remember, you are entering into Haram step by step, from Makkah to Arafah, from Arafah to Mash'ar, from Mash'ar to Mina. After finishing your Mina, you are going there to hit the stones. People say, Shaitan, hitting Shaitan. There is no Shaitan there. Have you seen Shaitan? Have you seen Shaitan? It is Jamra, Uqba, Ula and Wusta. Has anybody told you that you are hitting Shaitan there? This is the reason why people ask that we have been told the Shaitan ne mariye che. Actually, it's not Shaitan. If I am the devil number one, then I am hitting myself. You see, hitting, it is a place where Shaitan tried three times, not once, but two times, three times. As Hazrat Ismail was accompanying Hazrat Ibrahim for Qurbani and for being sacrificed, Shaitan came at three places and said, Ismail, your father is taking you for slaughter. Do you know that? And three times Ismail said that, I have already told my father, Ya Abatif al ma tu'mar. Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin. Oh my father, do whatever you have been commanded to do. you will always find me patient and forbearing. I have told him. Hazrat Ibrahim said, Ismail, what is happening? Every time you are talking to someone, he said, Shaitan is telling me this. Ibrahim told him, take 7 pebbles and hit at him so that he may go. This is what we are doing. The sign is to hit the way Ismail hit at the stone which is the post where Shaitan stood. You are not hitting Shaitan, you are actually hitting yourself. To say that if Shaitan sitting inside is trying to tell me, you know, there are people and people. I'm sorry to say this. There are people who come back from Hajj, not they don't become Hajjis, they become Pajjis, you know that. They come back and the state will ask, they say, if I knew it was like this, I would not have gone. Yes. Some of them say, it all is ridiculous. What is this going about? And I haven't said anything because the time of namaz is closer. Therefore, I haven't even completed. I haven't even dwelt on the philosophy of tawaf and all that. But this is enough to say that people change there sometimes for the worse. And you have to understand that I am hitting it 7 times. Uqba, Wusta and Ula. To say that, Ya Allah, for any waswasa and whispering of Shaitan within me, I have hit. That is why, if you miss, you must replace. If people are asking me whether to hit this way or to hit this way, I say hit this way, but hit. You see, the technicality of how to hit, if you are expert, you hit this way, can't. Sunnah is this way, right? You can't. You can't take one and hit, that's all. But it must hit. So that as it hits with niya, not without niya. You have got to make a niya that I am doing this rami. Rami is to hit, to throw. Ramya jamara, uqba or wusta or ula, first, second, the last. And the niya is that Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have done this symbolically to hit the shaitan within me. That is the meaning of it. And then you will come back. Now that you have returned after Arafah, Mash'ar, Mina and back to Allah, it means that you are coming back now to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a new man. By that time you have removed your ihram also and coming out of the shell. And you come there and do your tawaf, tawaf-e hajj tamattu, 2 rakat namaz, sa'i 7 times, and then back to tawaful nisa, and then 2 rakat namaz, now taqseer. If it is in Hajj, you will do there. You will shave your head. For those who go for the first time, it is recommended that they shave. Although Agha Khoi says it's not wajib. It's recommended. It is sunnah mu'akkadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went there, he told the people to shave. We are thinking that only we people are very conscious about our hair. Even those who are very conscious, they refused. History repeats itself. I don't know why human beings love their hair so much when they keep them unkempt and growing like luxuriously, dirty, full of lice. Well, if you have been told to shave, the Prophet said, shave. They asked Rasulullah, shave? Yes, shave clean. And then, not the beards, the hair. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set himself and asked the barber who was there, said, shave. And just as lock after lock of hair fell down to the ground and the Prophet was clean shaved, the people felt a bit ashamed, and one after the other, all of them sat and got themselves shaved. What will happen? What happened in my time was, the moment after having got our heads shaved, when we came back into the tent, the wives were surprised. Are you the same man or not? The ladies were surprised, because many people have got double heads, do you know that? You don't know them, but they have got double head. That means there is a head, half and then half. There is a ridge. The shape of the head is hidden by the hair. You come to know the exact shape of the skull the moment you shave it, whether it is round or square or ridgy or whatever it is. So the moment you look different, I look ugly. Well, you have come here for a new life to begin. And for that matter, even if you look ugly, you have got to put up with that so that you understand that you are beginning afresh a new life. Hajj is an opportunity. For elderly people, it's a repetition. For younger people, it's an opportunity to change. And there are places. Unfortunately, it's 9:25 and within 2 minutes, azan must be given. There are places in Makkah. There are places in Khane Kaaba. There are places in Medina which must be observed and seen and must be made use of for dua and istighfar. It's not a place of visit only. It's a place where particular dua must be read. Those who don't have children, those who have children and are praying for their children, those who have diseases, those who are having problems in their businesses, those who are having, man is full of problems. Those who have hajat, there are places, significant places, in Kaaba, around Kaaba, in Makkah, in Medina, in Haram, which must be made use of. Because one never knows how often he will go. I give one example only. When you come to Kaaba, you will see one small drain, mizab, which has been kept just on top of Kaaba. It is made of gold. It's known as mizab, just like a drain pipe cut off from there. When water collects, it can come out of that pipe. It is made of gold. It is near Hijra Ismail. It was not supposed to be made of gold. People make anything they like, but it is mizab. And the Prophet said, stand under the mizab and pray that ad-du'a'u tahta al-mizab mustajaba. Under this mizab, dua is accepted. There is a semicircle which you will pass and include in your tawaf. Hijra Ismail, not Hajar. Hijr, which means hijr is a lap, hajar is a stone, hujr is a room. This is hijr, the laps of Ismail. There hundreds of the prophets have been buried. Within it is for dua. Stand there, pray two rakat namaz and raise your hands and pray there. These are the places where you can earn what you have gone for and elevate your spirituality. May Allah accept our Hajj. And those who are going may go safely and return. And next Friday, if there is time, I have the attendance. Inshallah, I will take two or three further acts of worship in Hajj and explain. You are going, inshallah, for a wonderful spiritual experience. When you go and see Kaaba for the first time, you will not believe that you are awake. You will think that you are in a dreamland. With that spiritual radiation coming from Kaaba, despite its simplicity, when you sit next to it, you feel you are not on earth, you are elsewhere. Wassalamu alaikum.